Evening, as we have been doing for the last 2 weeks, we've been learning Sefer Melachim Aleph, and we're at an incredible part of our learning at this moment in time, where we are now at the very cusp of the building of the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. And we've been learning a little bit about this, and seeing how, first of all, Shlomo HaMelech has introduced into the newly made Beis HaMikdash the Aron HaKodesh, the Aron, and how the Shechina descended upon the Aron HaKodesh. That was number one. We next saw Shlomo HaMelech's initial blessing to make this the place that it deserves to be. And our goal this evening is going to be focusing on a place of prayer for all occasions. Shlomo HaMelech is now going to describe the function of the Beis HaMikdash. It's so fascinating. I think that if we read this with an open mind, we will see things in here which we perhaps never considered beforehand as being part of the Beis HaMikdash, or being part of what the Beis HaMikdash truly means. So let's try to think about that for a moment. If we were to be asked, what is it that your sanctuary, what your temple means to you, to the world? What would that mean? What exactly is, how would you describe it to somebody else? And certainly at a time right now when there's so much holding us back from being in our Mikdash Ma'at, what exactly does the Mikdash mean to us? What would it mean? How could we describe it in basic terms? Shlomo HaMelech is going to do exactly this for us. He's going to explain, this is his opening speech at the Beis HaMikdash, is going to describe this to us. What I'm going to do is, as we've done in the past few weeks, I'm going to share the screen of the source sheets, the Maariv Makomos, with us. You're welcome to join along. I'm going to try to be a little text light, just in order to be able to facilitate this. But please join along and let's try to see the text. Let's try to appreciate what's going on over here. It's an incredible moment over here. What I did was, I broke up Shlomo HaMelech's speech into micro sections, so it's easier for us to access, because each of these sections is delineated very clearly in the text as being one of the functions of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's start at the very beginning. Here's the first thing he says. We're going to start reading through a sum total of psukim here from psukim lamed in Perek Ches of Melachim Aleph, and we're going to go all the way till pasuk mem. So these 11 psukim together. Let's take a look at this. Let's try to appreciate what we're trying to achieve. Shlomo HaMelech says, "V'shamato el tchinas avdecha, v'amecho Yisrael asher yispalelu el ha'makom hazeh." Hashem, you'll listen to the tchina, to the supplication of your people, as they will call to you in this place. V'ata tishma la'makom shivto el mekom shivtocha el ha'shamayim, v'shamato v'solacht. And you will hear from your abode in the heaven, and you'll give forgiveness. Eis asher yechta ish v'lere'ehu, v'nasa boi Allah u'la'alo esoi, uva Allah lifnei mizbachacha b'bayis hazeh. A person comes, and a person will have to come in front of the Mizbeach for any form of misdeed, specifically a Shvua, and a person will come in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Mizbeach. V'ato tishma ha'shamayim v'asiso v'shafatato es avdecha l'arshia rosha l'aseis darkoi b'roshoi. You will then judge, condemning the wicked to bring the evil upon their head. U'lahatztik tzadik v'laseis lo tzitzik kosoi. To give to the righteous like their place, like their due, like the righteous is due. Notice over here, first of all, that over here there seems to be an element not just of prayer, but of judgment. We know that, in fact, where was the greatest seat of the Sanhedrin HaGadol? It was in the Lishka HaGoz. It's just parallel to the Mizbeach. So these psukim over here clearly are underlining exactly that point. It seems very clear from these psukim that there is a correlation between judgment and prayer, sacrificial service, and the korbanos. Fascinating. Let's go a little further, and I'd like to ask you, as we read these next couple psukim, why it is that I broke these up into two separate sections. The first section is atonement for sins and judgment. Now we read the next section. Binogeif amcho Yisrael lifnei oyev, when Israel is plagued in front of the enemy, they will sin to you. V'shavu elecha, they will return to you. V'hoidu es shim shemecha, they will now admit, they will come back to your name. They will ask for repentance. V'spalalu v'ischananu elecha b'abayis, and they'll come back in repentance to this house. V'atotishma shemayim v'solachta, you again will call out. You will listen from the heaven and give forgiveness. L'chatas amcha Yisrael v'hashevoisam el ha'adama asher nosato la'voisam. You will allow them to return to the land of their fathers. Just why was it that it is clear that these are two separate sections? You will already notice now that there is a refrain, and this refrain is going to help us break up Shlomo HaMelech's speech. And here it is. The refrain is V'ata tishma hashamayim, and you will hear either in the heavens or about the heavens This is the refrain which is going to happen at the end of each of these micro sections. So whenever we see that, we know that Shlomo HaMelech has now enumerated another element of tefillah, another element that the Beis HaMikdash is going to be useful for. In this, notice there was a little bit of ambiguity in these last two psukim, in Lama Gimel and Lama Dalet, as to whether this is a negef or an enemy. It usually sounds like it's an enemy, but the word binagef as well has other connotations. Let's move a little further. Next two psukim. Here we go. The psukim say, Behe'okeru shomayim v'lo yiyem otar. Let's say there's not going to be rain. Kiyechtu loch. That they're going to sin to you. V'spalalu el mokoy mazeh. V'hoidu es shemecha umechatosom yeshuvun ki sa'aneim. They will return to you and you're going to listen to them because you're going to afflict them. V'atot ishma shomayim v'solachta. V'lechatas avdecha v'amecha Yisrael. You're going to teach them the right way. The way they should go in Renosata, Motor al Artsukha. When they get to that point, then you'll give the rain back. You will get the rain back on the inheritance. So now let's think about the three episodes we've talked about now. We've talked about the atonement for sins of the individual. The individual who has some sort of something which needs to be fixed up, whether it be Ben Odom Lamakom or Ben Odom Lachavero. That's level number one. Level number two, the enemies. There seems to be, we're being plagued by our enemies. Number three, the lack of rain and the correction of that spiritually. We move to the next step of Shlomo HaMelech's speech, and we're going to stop here after this brief section. Rav kiyeh ba'aretz. Let's say there is a famine in the land. Dever kiyeh. Lest there be pestilence, whether it be shidafon yerakon arbe chasil ki hiye, some sort of type of infestation, whether it be locusts, caterpillars, mildew. There's going to be some sort of infestation. Ki yotzar loy oivoy beeretz sharav kol nega kol machala. Right, or whether the enemies are besieging the Bnei Yisrael and their cities, whatever plague it should be, called tvila, called techinashet, sihiya lechol ha'adam, any prayer that a person will express, lechol amcho Yisrael asher yedoun, ish nega levavoy, each person knows their own plagues in their heart, to foras, kapo, velabayas, as they'll spread their arms open towards this house, va'atotzi shma shemaim. Here again, the refrain, the fourth time round. You will hear from the heavens, mechon shiftecha, the place of your dwelling, v'solachta, v'asisa, v'nasata, li'ish, kechol drachov. You'll give to the people as their ways deserve, ashe teda es levavoy, because you know their hearts, ki ato yodata levadcho es levav kol b'nei Adam. You alone, Hashem, know the hearts of human beings. Leman yiraun, yiraun kol hayamim asher chayim. So they will fear you all the days that they are upon the ground which you gave to their forefathers. This is the first section that we're going to be focusing on today, is these four different iterations that Shlomo HaMelech has made clear to us as to what we use the Beis HaMikdash for. Again, to recount, whether it be a personal sin or a mix-up, Ben Onam L'Chavera, there's a tzaddik, there's a rasha, it sounds like, in the first instance. The second one is the enemies are attacking us, there's a nega. We hear about the lack of rain, and finally, some sort of plague, some sort of pestilence, some sort of terrible pandemic which stretches out. In all these instances, we simply turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's not simple because it seems that the formula of being listened to in the Beis HaMikdash is in fact actually doing teshuva, which is why the key is not HaKadosh Baruch Hu just waving a wand, it's listening to our doing teshuva, solachta, and giving us forgiveness should we be asking for it in the first place. This is the first section of Shlomo HaMelech's speech. Just worthwhile noting a few basic points over here. Number one is the refrain, which appears at the end of each of these four micro sections, is the same. And that is Vata Tishma Shamayim. You will hear from heaven. What does that mean? What's the point of that description? Why is this the refrain? Meaning ultimately, in the end of the day, let's remind ourselves. So those who were learning this last week together, as we were doing this last week, do you remember that one of the comments that Shlomo HaMelech made was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're in Shamayim, the Shmei Shamayim, lo yichal kalucha. How can the heavens ever encompass you? So how can we build a bias for you? So there must be something about that tone over here. Shlomo HaMelech is saying, we built a Beis HaMikdash, we're going to dive into the Beis HaMikdash, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ultimately you're going to answer us from the Shamayim. That perhaps is part of it. But there's another level to this. This is Abarbanel. Don Yitzhak Abarbanel explains to us on his beautiful commentary on Tanakh, and he says the following. This is in the first source of here. It's on the front pages of the screen share. Echshoiv, I would think, says the Abarbanel, Sheli Yois Hanhogas O'olam HaTachton Azeh, mushpa'as me'a shamayim. We know that ultimately the terrestrial world, and included in that terrestrial world is the solar system and the Milky Way and the galaxies too, let's be clear. But included in this terrestrial existence, everything is fed from energy from above. What Shlomo Melech is saying is sometimes we look out in the world and we look at the statistics and we look at the projections and we look at the probabilities and we look at what the weatherman says and we look like at what the CDC is. We see a certain trajectory. We see where the world is getting in a certain direction. And that's what's called Hanhoga Sa'olam Hatachtoim. That's the way the lower world works. When we go to the Beis Hamikdash, we beseech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow us to have a Hanhoga, an interaction, which is Shmemi, which is heavenly, which is beyond this system itself. You know, it says that by Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu was not meant to have children. It says, Vayotzei Oysoi Achutza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu removed Avram Achutza. Now, that obviously meant that the Bris Ben Avasarim occurred outside, that the whole episode wasn't inside the tent. But the Mefarshim say, as the Gemara based on the Gemara in Nedarim, that he took him out of Itztagniyos Shaloi. Avram Avinu was extracted from his mazal, from his horoscope, which means that Avram, who was born in this world, was destined to end up in spot X upon the projected calendar and upon the projected map. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to remove you from the system. I'm going to allow you to be above the system somehow. And that's how Avraham Avinu could have children. They say about the Klausenberger Rebbe, that when the Klausenberger Rebbe came out, emerged from the Holocaust, it was the first Yom Kippur in the DP camps. And he was at the moment where he was about to do the Al-Chetz, the Ashamnas on Yom Kippur, and he started crying. He couldn't work out what it was. He said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after all you put us through, is there any sin which has not been in any way removed from us, burnt out of us? And then he said, there was one sin that still was not fixed. And he says, that sin was at a certain moments in time, we thought that it wasn't possible to escape. I thought to myself that there is no way out. He says, even that thought, in a certain sense, precludes this idea of Vayotzei Asor Achutza, where Shlomo Melech over here, when he talks about the Beis Hamikdash, is we call upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Atah Tishma Shamayim. There's another system of energy in this world, that not everything works based on projections and probabilities. There is a much bigger system. That's what this refrain is, to understand the refrain which appears four times. Let's take it one step further. You'll notice a number of different things that the Shlomo Melech talks about, different disasters that can befall human beings in the section which Shlomo Melech is addressing. What is the rule? Is there a general rule between these ideas? Is he just suggesting things that have happened recently in the land of Israel, or things that he can remember, the collective memory? What's the idea that's holding this all together? What's the framework for this? So the Malbim says a very beautiful idea. He points out that in fact there's two silos. There's two different ways in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu can exact justice in this world. Here's how the Malbim says in source 2. He says, Ki yesh shnei mini onshin. There are two types of punishments. Oynesh befoil v'oynesh al yidei siluk hashkocha. One is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu targets a person or a group of people because they deserve something. And the other is where HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't target them. He simply removes the supernatural protection. Another natural cause and effect will affect them. Sometimes it will affect them positively, and sometimes will affect them not in a positive way, in a negative way, because that's simply the dog-eat-dog world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has left the person to be in. Ritzoni says, the Malbim, I'm going to explain myself. When the enemies attack, that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually sending people in to be a specific attack. So there's certain times where if we do certain sins, God forbid, Hashem will send the enemies. And maybe, naturally speaking, we could have beaten those enemies. We had the right systems. We had the right amount of tanks. We had the right amount of air force. We thought we were fantastic. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will make us lose, God forbid. That's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is specifically guiding an onesh towards us. And then he says, however, at Siras Geshamim, when it comes to stopping rain, when it comes to removing rain, that is a natural disaster. That's not why Hashem is targeting us. That's why Hashem is removing the protection, and we're left to the world, we're left to the, so to speak, the world around us. So the Malbim says that you'll notice over here that Shlomo Melech is referring to both types of punishment. Both types of punishment. Whether it be something which we're targeted, or whether it's something which we're not targeted, but we're not availed the natural spiritual protection that HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give to us, In either of these situations, that is when the Beis HaMikdash is a place to turn to. I would just make as a fascinating side note on this Malbim, the Malbim on Eov, in Nachyomi, we're trying to get through Eov right now, and it's interesting that the Malbim notes that there's actually a third type of oinesh that a person can go through, and that is an oinesh where a person brings it upon themselves. So a person, let's say, eats too much, a person drinks too much, a person indulges in this world too much, that's a self-created situation. They dig their own pit. And when it happened to Eov, each of the three stages of the punishment of Eov were first the removal of Ashkocha, then the targeted punishment, and the one that was should be a consequence of his life, but he didn't live a lifestyle of such. That would warrant that. Just fascinating as to match these Malbims up. But the Malbim is pointing out, Shlomo HaMelech is saying, whether it be a natural disaster or a specific disaster, we are actually going to always turn to the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, one last point just to notice in this section is, if you're looking carefully through the words, you will notice that there are three types of words that Shlomo HaMelech uses as to what davening can mean, or we use the word davening to mean. One is what he says, is that there's tefillah, techina, and rina. Tefillah, techina, and rina. The Abarbanel explains that each of these means a different thing. Tefillah comes from the word lahit palel. Le palel means the word judgment. I'd always heard this idea in the name of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, but it turns out the Abarbanel said it a number of centuries before. The Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch, he says it right here in Malachim. The lihit palel is to self-judge oneself, to judge whether one's worthy of the things one's asking for. Techina is a supplication. I'm asking for something very specific. And Rina is when I'm praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You will notice that Shlomo HaMelech interdisperses all of these three different languages when describing his way of connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because each of these three ways is in fact a natural way of connecting and forging a bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is fascinating as homework just to take a look at where these three lashonos, where these three expressions appear as they dot their way across Shlomo HaMelech's speech, not for now, but it's fascinating. That's what our Barbella points out. So we looked at three aspects here. Let's just look at, remind ourselves for a moment. We looked at Shlomo HaMelech has now made four situations in which the Beis HaMikdash is going to operate as a salvation, should we do the tshuva. And we've looked at three points. We looked at the refrain, why the refrain is heavenly, not terrestrial. We looked at the idea, as the Malbim talked about, how there are two types of oinshim mentioned over here, whether it be a directed oinshim or an oinesh, a punishment in which the consequence is because of a lack of the hashkach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And finally, the Abarbanel pointing out that if you look at the lashonos, the expressions of tefillah, there's three of them, tefillah, rina, and tchina. It relates to three different ways of communicating with the divine. Let's move on into the next section now. And this over here is such an unknown aspect of the Beis HaMikdash. It's so important for us to know this and to appreciate this. Here's what Shlomo HaMelech says next. We could turn back to the Psukim, and we're in Psukim Mem Aleph to Mem Gimel. Again, these sections are automatically curtailed off because we notice that it's going to have the same refrain at the end of each of these sections. Here's what he says. V'gam el hanochri asher lemi'amcho Yisrael hu. Even the stranger, the Gentile, who's not from Israel. Uva me eretz rechayko leman shemecha. And they will come from the faraway land for your name, for your name's sake. Ki yishmu'un es shimcha gadol yu. They will hear about your great name, O Ribbono shel Olam Almighty. Vez yodcha hachazoka. And your great hand, your strong hand, Zroyacha natsuya, and your outstretched arm. Uva v'yispalel el habayis hazeh. And they'll come to pray in this house. You're going to hear from the heavens in the place of your dwelling, and you'll do all the biddings of this Gentile, so that all the nations of the land will know your name. Liyira oisacha ka'amcha Yisrael, to fear you like the nation of Israel. V'lodas kishimcha nikra al habayis hazer asher vonisi, to know that my name is called upon this house that I built, meaning I, as in Shlomo HaMelech speaking and as the speaker behind this soliloquy. Now let's just appreciate this for a moment, just to put things in context. A few moments ago, if somebody had asked you, are non-Jews allowed to daven in the Beis HaMikdash, what would your natural answer have been? Well, reconsider the natural answer, because Shlomo HaMelech has said to us that the Beis HaMikdash is also for the non-Jews as well. It is also for those who are non-Jewish. Now, let's clarify a few things here quickly. So first of all, there is obviously different places in the Beis HaMikdash. As we know, one of the things which really aggravated the Greeks when they attacked the Beis HaMikdash was they were very upset that the Beis HaMikdash had different gradations of place. So there was an area called the Sareg, which was this type of wall, and the non-Jew could come in there but could go no further. So there was limitations as to where they could access in the Beis HaMikdash, but were they allowed in the Beis HaMikdash? Absolutely. Were they allowed to daven in the Beis HaMikdash? Yes. Which, by the way, I think for a moment, before going any further, should be a startling and alarming fact in the following way. Any other religion that you look to, think about the idea of, we'll call it democratizing their place of worship. Think about that. Think about if a Jew were to try to get to Mecca today, right? In the days of the Crusades, imagine that a Jew trying to get to the Vatican without special permission. They'd be murdered, they'd be killed. Think about this. No religion tolerated others having even a space to pray in a house of worship and not convert. The idea that Judaism, from the very get-go, acknowledged the fact that not everybody's going to be Jewish, but they could still dive into HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is a remarkable thing. Something which was never adopted by the daughter religions, Islam and Christianity. They demanded conversion or the sword. Very, very important to just appreciate this. Here you have a Gentile davening in the Beis HaMikdash itself. Now let's take this one step further. The Ralbag says a very beautiful thing. The Ralbag says that if you notice carefully over here, as opposed to the previous four paragraphs, you'll notice that the way that the tefillah is accepted for the non-Jewish person is different to the way that it's described by the Jew about the acceptance of the tefillah of the Jewish person, and it's not in favor of the Jewish person. If you look carefully, you'll notice that only if the Jew does teshuva, only if the person knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu, only if the person is willing to make amends and come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will that person ultimately be accepted in teshuva and HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring the resolution of their problems, whatever their problems be. But here, if we look at these psukim, when it comes to the non-Jew, it just says, whatever it is, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atotish v'ashamayim, v'chon shiftecho, v'asisa kocholah shiikro elecho anachri. Anything they ask for, it's a blank check. They can get it. Wow. That means it's easier for a non-Jew coming to the Beis HaMikdash to get their request than it would be for a Jew coming to the Beis HaMikdash. How does that work exactly? The Ralbag points out, all the Mefarshim point out the same point, and that is because ultimately there's a greater Kiddush Hashem made over here. Here you have a person who's recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's come from this faraway land to pray to the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wow, that's worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu listening, even without the prerequisite necessarily of them even being able to get there. But it goes a little further. The Medrash Tanchuma in Parshas Truma actually notes the following very powerful idea. And that it says, and this is what it says in Source 5. It says, V'loy tam abba mishkon. Here he says, V'loy tam abba mishkon, el abba Beis HaMikdash hayo yofel lahen. It was better in the Beis HaMikdash for non-Jews than it was for Jews. Minayin. Shekain Shlomo Hayosoy David Philosopher Aimer Shlomo Melech said in his tefillah, which we just learnt now, and said Vagamis Anochri Shalom Amcha Yisrael Huva Leberes Chokolaman Shemecho Gishmu Esak Shemcha Gadol Vesir Chazakos Ra'achad Tzuyova Vispalen Labayis Zeh, and you'll come to pray in this house. Atotish Vashomai Mochon Shiftecha Vosis Kol Hashikra Alecha Anochi Leman Yedu Kol Ameoritz Kishimcha Lira Oischa Kamcha Yisrael Vladas Kishimcha Nikra Labayis Zeh Shabanisi. Those are all the psukim we just learnt. When it comes to a Jew, and when it comes to the Jews, only if they have sincere repentance in their heart will you listen to them. So does that make sense? Is that fair, says the Midrash? Yeah, so the Midrash continues and says the following. Let's say you have a person who's saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I really, really need children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows that the children that are destined for this human being, for this individual, for this family, are not going to be easy. They're going to give them so much tzaros. In that case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be a little more reticent with giving granting that request. Let's say the person says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let me win the lottery. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, it's only going to create tzaros. You're going to have so much strife with your family, your friends, the people you thought were friends. Everybody's going to fight with you. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it came to the Nachri, says the Medrash, when it came to the Nachri, it is the individual who's a Gentile, they will get anything, even if perhaps it may in fact be it may not be good for them necessarily, and that seems to be part of it. So it isn't always as good as it looks on the outset. That's one thing we should know. Now, is Shlomo HaMelech the only one who shares this perspective? Is Shlomo HaMelech revolutionary in this respect? No, everybody says this. Yeshayahu says in Perek Nun Vav, and we say this in the Haftarah on a fast day, we say, Vav Yosim, when it comes to the Bnei HaNechar, when it comes to the non-Jews, the Gentiles, Vav Yosim al Har Kodesh, I'll bring them to my holy mountain, V'simachtim b'veis tefilosi, and I'll bring them and make them happy in my house of prayer, V'olosim v'zivcheihem l'vizivcheihem l'ratzon ha-mizbechi, I'll bring their korbanos on my altar, ki veisi veis tefilolochi kor lecholabim. Says Yeshayahu, very clear. Perhaps we forget this. This is in the Haftarah, this is in the Slichos, this is a pasuk in Yeshayahu. Yeshayahu says exactly the same thing as Shlomo HaMelech did many years beforehand. In fact, the Gemara says, the Gemara and the Medrash Tanchuma, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, if the nations of the world knew how important the Beis Hamikdash was, they would protect it. They would never allow anybody to destroy it because it would be an agent and a functioning protection for them themselves. The Gemara in Sukkah talks about the Shivim Parim, and then Rabbi Yochanan says, think about this. They destroyed something which would be good for them themselves. Why would they do that? They don't understand the function of the Beis Hamikdash. That's how far it goes. Just to appreciate this level. If you just came to the shiur, just to appreciate this, just understand how revolutionary this idea is and how Shlomo HaMelech was able to say this. We're going to finish off with the last section over here in Shlomo HaMelech's speech. Here's what he says. Now, we get into the next last two sections of this speech where Shlomo HaMelech says what the Beis HaMikdash is for. Ki yetzi am chol ha-milchama ha-evob. בדרך אשר תשלחם ויספללו אל השם ודרך העיר אשר בחרת בו והבייס אשר בוניסי לשמך. So let's say that we have over here a person who's going out to war with Bnei Yisrael, with other nations, and they leave and they pray through this bias, through this Beis Hamikdash. Asher bonisi lishmecha v'shamato shamayim es tfilosom v'es netchinosom v'asisla b'kamish mishpotecha. Then in fact you'll listen to them even when they're praying from there. Then furthermore, says the Psukim, says Shlomo, ki yechtu lecha, when they will sin to you, ki ein adam asher leyechta, v'anaf tavam, v'nosata lifnei oyev, v'shavum, shoveihem el eretz oyev, v'rechoika oikrova. Let's say the enemy is going to now exile them to a faraway land. V'yishivu es libam bo eretz, asher nishbu sham, v'shavu v'ischanu eilecha, bed eretz shoveihem leymar, chotanu ve'evinu v'roshanu. Let's say, now they say, we've sinned in the lands of our enemies. In such a case, you're going to do what they actually said. They're going to listen to their prayers. And you'll forgive your nation which sinned. Through the house, you're going to send mercy to the land of the enemies where they are. Ki amcha v'nachlos chalhem. They are your nation, they are your people. Asher atzeis ha-mi Mitzrayim, that you took out of Egypt, mitoich kura barzel, liyos einecho pesuchos, al tichinas avdecho, al tichinas amcha Yisrael, lishmoy aleihem, ale b'chol kuram elo. Because you chose them even above the land. Ki atoiv dalto locho ala anachlo, mikol amei ha-oretz. You chose them as the nation, the chosen nation. Kasher dibarto biyad Moshe avdecho, bo'etzi acho es avosenim Mitzrayim, Hashem alekim. So it's a remarkable idea. Why does this section belong here? Think about this. Surely this section belongs earlier. HaKadosh, Moshe HaMelech has just enumerated all the things that will happen to Bnei Israel, and then he talks about the non-Jews. So why is coming back to the talk about the Jews over here, asks the Barbanel. Very simple answer. Is because now we're talking about the Jew who's left the precinct of the Beis HaMikdash. We talk about the Jew who's no longer able to access the Beis HaMikdash. We're talking about over 2,000 years of Jewish history in which the nation of Israel is not able to access, is not able to come to the Beis HaMikdash, but nonetheless it still offers the portal of access to Shemaim. This is Vatotu Shema Shemaim even through the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps I'd like to close with this with an incredible insight, a very, very beautiful insight which is shared over here. And let's think about this for a moment. When was the non-Jew listened through the Beis HaMikdash? When was it that the non-Jew had access to the Beis HaMikdash? Let's go back for a second. When it talks about the non-Jew, it says, when he comes from an Eretz Rechoiko, Vame Eretz Rechoiko Leman Shemecho, it comes from a faraway land for your name to the Beis HaMikdash. When is it that the Gentiles listen to in the Beis HaMikdash? Only when he comes and he gets up and he gets onto his horse and he travels across the countries to come to the Beis HaMikdash. That's when he's going to be listened to. But when it comes to the Jew, even when the Jew is in exile, is in every one of the four corners of the earth, is not able to access the Beis HaMikdash, Continues the Psukim, says Shlomo Melech. The Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, is still an opening, is still an aperture of connection. Don't ever underestimate that even through disconnection, which perhaps has been a longer period of history than even the time of connection and having a bias, how much the Beis HaMikdash serves us. This perhaps is the perspective of understanding the magnitude of what the Beis HaMikdash means, not simply as a place when it stood as an edifice, but also standing as a place when it's not an edifice. And that's perhaps the remarkable insight of that Shlomo Melech is saying over here. And think about the gravity of that statement. As Shlomo Melech talks about building the Beis HaMikdash, he's already talking about when the Beis HaMikdash won't be. Think about the magnitude of that. That's a very, very powerful statement. This ends our time today, this evening. I look forward to Mitzvah Shem continuing to hear this evening from Rav Axelrod. Yashar Koyachem, thank you for coming, and I hope it is a meaningful night going forward.
There we go. There we go. 1 second. Where is it? There we go. Hey, welcome everyone. I want to thank all the Rabbanim for their participation, to Rabbi Shai Schechter for coordinating this whole entire effort. We spoke about last week how we were going to focus on topics relating to